You're listening to the newchurches.com
New Q&A Churches
podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Yes, it
Here
is.
You'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't yet done so, go to newchurches.com/courses to discover all the different courses that we have to help you grow, multiply, develop leaders, and actually our most recent one, the Digital Access Pass for the Mosaics Multi-Ethnic Church Conference that we covered and live streamed. So my name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, now what's funny is Todd and I... We know that when you listen to this podcast and many other podcasts, you're probably thinking, oh, are they in a studio or are they in some place with, you know, diamond studded walls? Or I don't know. Like, we all have this perception
diamond
as to what,
all right.
How people record podcasts.
I haven't really ever thought that, Daniel.
All right. Now, we do sometimes record in our studio over here, but today we're actually recording in a little bit of a makeshift studio, which is fun because all I can see right now is Todd's eyes.
I'm like Wilson from Home Improvement.
Yes. Home Improvement. The best. All right.
We're talking about church improvement today.
Yes. So, hey, that just goes to show you that you, with a couple mics and some equipment and a memory card, you too can start a podcast.
And two whiteboards. We do have two whiteboards. Whiteboards are very important. Whiteboards are one of my five love languages.
All right. So at the expense of blathering too much, according to our last reviewer, we are going to read another review.
No, they said we didn't blather too much.
I know.
Much.
So let's stop blathering.
Okay.
All right. So this review is from Echo Oi 618. Echo Oi. Or E Choi, probably E Choi. Yeah, oh, dude. E Choi 618. The title is Great Resource.
Hey,
five
they
stars.
Would expect that from me because I'm the white guy.
I know. Choi is a Korean last name, too. Just reading it wrong. It was short and sweet. He or she says this. Definitely one of the best church planning podcasts out there. And it's fun. It's fun. If anything, we're fun.
We try.
Yes, we try. So, Echoy, be sure to send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com. We will send you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen. So, be sure to get that over to me, and we will get that swag to you. Well, today, we have a question from Don. Just Don.
Just Don.
Yes, just the Don.
Don.
All right, so let's listen in.
In a new church plant, if you have a senior pastor and a worship leader, what would you recommend for your next hire?
All right, so just like our reviewer, Don's question was short and sweet.
It was short and sweet.
What's the best next hire in a church plant? We have a senior pastor and a worship pastor.
Okay. So first off, I'm going to say the worship pastor either is hopefully part-time.
Yes.
Or has other roles that he's fulfilling, such
yes,
as...
not a full-time worship pastor.
Couples or small groups or, you know, fill in the blank. Outreach. Yeah. I don't care, but you've got to have multiple disciplines there. Mm-hmm. Next, I would say I would go probably a part-time children's person.
Yeah.
And I would almost go part-time children's people before I would go one full-time person.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless you go part-time and that person is just absolutely producing an insane amount of work, then I would say go ahead and bump them up.
So to have, let's say, for example, a part-time grade one or first grade to sixth grade or K to six, and then a part-time nursery, pre-K, that kind of breakdown?
I would go nursery to K and first grade and up, personally. And typically that's where you're going to find, at least statistically right now, that's where you're going to find the most people. If your demographics are different, it may be a different hire, but odds are that's the boat you're in. And I would say one of the things that you need to look for is who is already, you know, faithful and available. You may have somebody who already attends your church and is passionate about the ministry. that they're doing and that, you know, maybe is looking for a part-time position.
Totally.
That would be the first place I would start. And again, what you're looking for is someone who is passionate and has shown some leadership. The last thing you want to do is take a warm body volunteer and just because they lost their job or are looking, put them in that position.
And neither do you need to look for someone who has a early childhood certificate or education or someone who's even been to seminary or Bible college. You don't necessarily need that because this day there's so much training to develop someone on the job while they're doing the work. We mentioned it last episode that we were together when we were answering Seth Major's question, just all the training that we have on Ministry Grid for kids, volunteer leaders, and
it's for learners, leaders, and multipliers. So you look at the learner, the new person. You look at somebody who's been doing it for a while that's in a volunteer position. There's a whole separate track, pathway, whatever you want to call it for them. And then there's staff level training for every area of the church. So that's not meant to be a commercial. It really is meant to be an asset. And you can try that out for free and then cancel it if you want.
Yeah, but the beauty is you can, if you're looking for a part-time individual to lead kids ministry, you're right, you need to look for someone with the passion.
Is the first piece.
You can train competencies.
Totally.
Yeah.
I can't train a good attitude and work ethic.
Yeah.
So those are the next two things I would look for in a person. If I was looking internally or externally, I'm looking for passion. I'm looking for a good attitude and a good work ethic. If I've got those things, man, I can train the rest.
Yeah.
But I cannot train you to be passionate. I cannot train you to have a good attitude, maybe, over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And I can't train you to have a good work ethic.
Yeah, and oftentimes...
So training can overcome all the rest of those issues.
Yeah, and oftentimes you'll be able to actually pinpoint these parents out. If you're just to or have someone just hang around kids ministry, the Sunday check-in, even if you as the pastor were to go there and just be inside the kids ministry area while parents are checking in and just see their perspective or the attitude that the parents have when they come in. Are they talking to the other parents? Are they kind of gathering people in?
Yeah.
What about when there's a brand new person who has kids? Likely you're going to have some parent going in and be like, oh, I'll help you out. And even though it's not their role, they're going to be open and available and willing to do that.
Hopefully they're already serving in your ministry.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. You know, one of the things that we addressed before was it Seth Major?
Yeah, Seth Major.
Seth Major, who's asked a question or two before, he talked about, you know, how do I bolster my children's ministry? And one of the things that I said in there was, hey, you want to make sure you're not, you want to move people from being warm bodies to weekly volunteers, meaning, again, you want people that are passionate about leading your kids' ministry. You want to give them clarity on what their job is, and you want to give them training so that they feel equipped. So quick ways that you can do that. If you don't have a job description, like a one-page clear job description for what you want people to do, you kind of leave them up to their own devices. You're showing that you don't have very high expectations for them, especially if you don't also add training to that element. If you want to move from warm bodies to weekly volunteers, those are some quick ways to do that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, when we come back to the whole idea around the best next hire in a new church plant, I agree with you that it's important to have a children's ministry, someone who can be dedicated and focused and committed to the ministry. But sometimes you have volunteers or you have people who are saying, hey, you know what, whether you pay me or not, I'm going to just be wholeheartedly invested into this. And then the same way, you may have a person who has a good job, doesn't need another salary, or doesn't need a little bit more money, but they love leading worship, they love leading a band. So in the early days of a church plant and even a campus, you really have to see who has God surrounded you with, and how can you utilize your resources well, because sometimes what we do is we cheapen the way we cheapen our leadership development process, and we short circuit it just because we have some extra money in our budget. And we say, hey, you know what? All I got to do is I have extra money. I'm just going to hire someone out to take care of this. And inevitably, you are disappointed because that person is not an equipper and a developer.
No.
Right. So you really need to develop that culture first and foremost, where you yourself are an equipper and a developer of others before you even go about to hire someone. Otherwise, you're going to hire more people who are doers rather than equippers.
Well, yeah, when it comes to leadership development, man, you've got two choices. You can build leaders or buy leaders, and it's a lot cheaper and actually more biblical to use Ephesians 4 as a framework and say, hey, my job, I have one job as a church leader, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And, you know, you've got to believe that somebody in your church is made for that. I mean, they're part of your local body, and there's somebody there that's going to be able to serve. You just have to find them, give them clarity of the vision for what it is, give them clear tracks to run on, and call them into that ministry and be sure they're equipped and prepared to run.
Yeah, and this is why it's so important, because when you hire someone, like we were talking about on the previous episode that we were together, and this one as well, where we're saying, hey, you can train in the knowledge piece, and let's say you're hiring someone part-time who doesn't have a Bible college degree or a seminary degree, then what's going to happen for them is they're going to lead the way that they've been led and teach the way that they've been taught. They're going to lead the way that they've experienced, right?
And yep, they're going to default.
Exactly. And being part-time, the default perspective in our world and a lot of workplaces in the marketplace is that, hey, you need to make sure that you have a job, that you need to make sure of job security. So you better do stuff that you can't necessarily pass off to other people, because you need to have that job security. Whereas in the church, it's really flipped upside down. It's an inside out kingdom. It's a different way of looking at things, because the Lord has told us, hey, you need to not just do, you need to equip, right? So when you hire someone, you're not just looking for the best doer. You're actually looking for the best equipper, someone who has not only the passion, but the ability. And you can see in them that they have that heart and that attitude to lift other people up around them, to release ministry onto them, to not just when something good happens, they're not just saying, hey, it was actually me that did this, but they were able to lift others up. I mean, because that person is going to multiply themselves far more than the doer.
Word.
All right. Well, thank you again for listening in. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or however else you get your podcast. And please be sure to leave a review and rating for us, because that helps other people discover us. Thank you.